Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Meta World Peace, DJ Strawberry, Joey Devine, Sergey Leeschuk, Donatus Motiunas, Sean Keane, Furcon Aldemir, Isaiah Kanan, special guest Sean Hyken, musical guest the cast of Small Ball, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock. Welcome to the show, guys. I'm here with my co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing really well.
And our special guest, another Sean, has entered the arena, Sean Hyken.
Only one of us can leave.
Yeah, you guys are going to die. One of you dies.
One of us
tonight
is going to be murdered. Yeah. But, you know,
it's probably going to be, in all honesty.
You might know Sean. Sean has written for Bleacher Report, for CSN Chicago.
I just did the Bulls game for them recently in Portland. Yeah,
The Athletic.
That is also correct.
Yeah, you helped kill newspapers. Thanks, buddy.
No, I was gone before they did that. I was gone before that whole thing started.
How are you tonight, Hyken?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm here. I'm actually drinking exactly one beer right now.
Zach
Lowe's gonna tweet at you and make sure that you source him on that one beer.
Do you have like an action movie from 2011 that you're gonna watch later and fall asleep in the middle of?
No, I haven't. I'm still hyped off that Firefest documentary yesterday.
Oh, you guys, yeah,
so good. I'm hyped on the one that comes out the day this podcast comes out. In fact, listeners, while you're listening to this, I will be having a second screen experience where I watch both Firefest documentaries at the same time.
Yeah, are you gonna live stream it? And
yeah, I'm, and then I'm gonna just jack them into my brain like Johnny Mnemonic.
Joey, could I sit on the couch next to you with my new beard and my ironic Firefest t-shirt?
You sure can. Okay. Anytime. Great.
I feel like because we just kind of have this like little bubble of Twitter where everybody that we follow is talking about the Firefest documentary. Like how big of like an actual cultural thing is this documentary going to be? Is this going to become a thing where now we're going to actually just be like going around out in public and seeing people wearing like ironic Firefest shirts now? Like, is that going to be a thing?
I mean, honestly, we should maybe take this off the air and start selling them. Because what?
Right.
That scam artist is going to sue us. Ja Rule is going to sue us. Bring it, Ja Rule. You want to sue me? Go ahead.
Yeah. Then there's a shot of us just doing shots, being like, we stole these shirts from Ja Rule.
I'm going to order $2 million worth of alcohol on my Magnesis card. And then commit wire fraud to get out of paying the 45% alcohol tax.
Yeah, all of our sponsors have been paying us with the Magnesis card. Should we be worried about that?
The Magnesis card, not to get a little into Roundball Rock's own mythology, but it seems like a real Brett Slampson scheme, doesn't it? The Magnesis card.
like he wouldn't found it, but he'd be an early investor.
For sure. With Randy's money.
Well, obviously. the settlement from the incident.
Before we get to this first thing we want to do, I should mention, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, please. Five stars only. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at RoundRockPod, on Gmail at roundrockpod@gmail.com, or we also have a phone number, which I never have up in time because I am a bad host.
I've got it on speed dial.
You've got it on speed dial? Oh man.
Yeah, my landline.
And you can call us there at 323-682-0342. And we're gonna do a lot of news here with Hyken, but before we get to that, Sean Keen.
You're going to have to be more specific this time.
I know. I'm going to call you Keenan Hyken. I just forgot that time. Keen, you had a Twitter experience. You want to explain to us what happened there yesterday?
Yeah.
It was big Roundball Rock news in the Roundball Rockosphere.
Look, a lot of people came through from a lot of Roundball What the Fuckers, Roundball Rocketeers. Basically, Daryl Morey tweeted the answers to, apparently, I think he had maybe asked people to do this on Twitter.
Yeah, he was running a contest that was just, what's your favorite thing about rivers?
Which is, let me tell you this right now.
Don't.
It's the first time that has ever happened. Especially inside the Rivers household. But he threw in some answers. The best answer is ebb and flow of the offense. Great place to have Van down by. Now you only have to stick to lakes you're used to. A Rivers runs through it. Other teams waited on him. He's too damn good. You can't step in the river in the same river twice. Daryl Morey absolutely would reacquire Austin Rivers as well, by the way. Anyway, he replied to my reply about the tweet, which is,
what did you reply?
I really liked that there was as much support from the fans about this. Basically, he just said, my response was, Mr. Morey, you are formally invited to appear on Round Rock Pod to discuss Small Ball the Musical, what a Stephen Sondheim coached basketball team would look like, and as many Rivers puns as you want. And he wrote back, you caught it, with an exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think he is talking about Stephen Sondheim, I believe.
Yeah, there was a Sondheim reference in the Rivers thing, right?
Yeah, I assumed
that's what that was. I'm not a big enough nerd to know about Stephen Sondheim, but
I am a big enough nerd, which is part of why, I mean, Daryl Morey's Twitter bio is more than half Sondheim. His whole bio is just Houston Rockets general manager. Opportunity is not a lengthy visitor, which is a quote from Into the Woods, which I got to say is the first reason why Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets, should be a guest on Roundball Rock, because I was in a high school production of Into the Woods, which is Daryl's favorite musical, and quoted in his Twitter bio. I was so into my performance as the mysterious man in Into the Woods that my first college email handle was Mistman, MYSTMAN.
Now, Sean, did people understand that reference when you got to college?
No, they didn't. They thought it was the computer game Myst. Mm-hmm. And then I had to explain I was the 13th biggest character in a Broadway musical while I was in high. Sorry, in a famous musical that I was in high school, a character that is so small, it did not make the film version that came out.
Oh, so Corden didn't play him?
James Corden could do it, though. That guy can do anything.
Hyken.
Also could have had just S-E-A-N. Hyken
dropped off.
Yeah, Dad, I didn't drop off. I was just riveted by this story.
I was going to ask
Daryl Morey, go on. Daryl Morey, go on Roundball Rock.
some of you young people are probably thinking, shouldn't my social media handle be just my name? But let me just tell you, the early days of the internet were a different time where you want an obscure pun about a song lyric or a play you were in when you were 16 years old.
I actually have a really funny story about this. A friend of mine, when she signed up for AOL Instant Messenger, got the handle Pavement Fan. And it was gonna go through, but she went, no, that's not cool, and wrote Pavement Fan 657.
Yeah.
Because she did not understand that those numbers were being generated because there were 657 pavement fans, and she would have been the first.
So she would have been the actual first pavement fan. Yeah, like nobody had ever listened to that band before her.
Yeah,
she
heard about them before they were cool.
My college roommate was very upset because he chose Aaron V, which was his first name and initial, and then realized immediately he could have just been Aaron. And so he was so disappointed.
Hyken, have you had any embarrassing screen names in your life?
I was a little bit too late for most of the AIM boom. I honestly don't remember what my AIM, I only had it for 2 years before everybody kind of stopped using it when I was in middle school or high school. It probably had 2112 on the end because I'm a massive Rush fan, and I was also back then. So this is almost kind of the precursor, though.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Trying to get a Twitter handle that you're like I'll see how Andre Iguodala has the Andre Twitter handle, and I'll bet he had to get that from somebody.
I actually know the story of this. I don't know why.
You do?
Yeah, apparently, whoever owned Andre Iguodala's agent paid the guy who owned Andre for the handle and gave it to Andre Iguodala for his birthday.
How much did he pay him?
I don't know. I bet it was a lot.
I would be holding out for a decent amount of money.
If you had Andre.
Yeah.
I'd be calling Andre 3000's camp, hey, I've got an offer on Andre.
And he's like,
Does Andre 3000 even have a Twitter?
There's no fucking way he has a Twitter.
No, that's actually how he got his name. He signed up for, he was a very early AOL user, but there were actually 2,999 Andres before him. And then he was like, all right, this is my rap name now.
Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah. Why not? I mean, isn't that how Donald Glover got his name? Didn't he sign up on one of those rap name generator things and it gave him Childish Gambino? Have you guys heard that story?
Sounds correct. Right. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that. By the way, this is two podcasts in a row where we've talked about Rush, which is the first two times we have talked about Rush on Roundball Rock. Congratulations!
I don't think it's the first two times we've talked about Rush. I mean, the first time. I think Rush was maybe in the basketball tournament that Daniel Ralston decided.
I don't think... Did they have five guys?
Oh, no, right. It wasn't three-on-three. Yeah, I thought we had a three-on-three tournament.
Are they going to get in the big three, maybe?
Oh... how would Rush fare at basketball, you think, Hyken? You're a big fan.
I think Geddy Lee would probably be he's got the long hair and he's Canadian. He'd be maybe a Kelly Olynyk type of pesky guy. I don't know.
Here's my question. If they were playing 3-on-2 against the White Stripes, who would win?
Oh, the White Stripes, 100%.
Yeah, Jack White would murder them.
Also, Neil.
What are the rules though? Because I feel like Jack White would only play if you have to only play with peach baskets, no 3-point line, no shot clock.
And everybody has to wear tux. Oh no, yeah. So like bespoke uniforms that they made themselves. Well,
whatever, like only to the exact specifications of like the way that they when James Naismith came up with the first ever basketball game. Like that's the only way that Jack White plays basketball.
But I bet he'd rack up a lot of fouls by people just like brushing against his garish hat. You know.
Oh yeah.
I don't think Jack White's wearing the hat when he plays basketball. He's from Detroit, dude. You know what I mean?
I think he's pretty committed to the hat.
Maybe. It doesn't matter. Anyway, Sean Keane, continue with your Daryl Morey pitch. We got
okay,
way
thank
off
you.
Track.
Sorry. Okay, so we can talk about Into the Woods. I'm a Mist man from way back. We will, if Daryl Morey goes on, we will temporarily change our name to Small Ball Rock.
We will.
Or possibly permanently change it. We're open to negotiation. somehow we will get him a second round pick.
Get him to guest on Slammed Up too.
Yeah.
That might be his preference. Yeah, he's allowed to be on Slammed Up if he wants to.
As long as
that's okay with yeah, go ahead.
I have a specific question I want to ask Daryl Morey. Who's the better pick and roll tandem? Gilbert and Sullivan or Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Oh, that's good. Look, as we know from watching Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, W.S. Gilbert did the best frat humor of all time.
Yeah, so funny.
Joey, if Daryl Morey required a second round pick, a conditional second round pick, would you trade the ghost of Don Pardo to get that?
No, but I would trade the robot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's his contract's expiring anyway.
Yeah.
How's the shooting motion? Is it repeatable?
Oh, he's a robot, so it's super repeatable. It's like the most repeatable.
We will also preview our presentation for next year's Sloan Conference. We've been working on this for months. Our presentation is called Analytics, How Inefficiencies in Ass Eating Affect the Lower End of the Free Agent Market.
It's true. Yeah. I have
sneak peek at that.
I have been working on a keynote for that for like 6 months.
Oh, yeah, dude.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Daryl Morey, Sean?
No, just he seems like a good dude. I think he'd have a good time.
I'm going to finish it up then. Daryl Morey, I know you're listening to this. Go on Roundball Rock. I promise you, I will only ask you questions about musicals. We won't talk about basketball at all, like NBA basketball. You won't get in trouble. Go on Roundball Rock. Anyway, should we get to the news, fellas?
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, our first story. Michael Beasley. He couldn't enter the game tonight because he had his practice shorts on by mistake, not his regular shorts under his warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme.
And this is like the second time in 2 weeks is something, because remember Andrew Wiggins a couple of weeks ago forgot to put his jersey on in a Timberwolves game. I think this is the game they got blown out by the Hawks.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So this is like I don't know if last year was like because remember last year was the first year that Nike had the jersey, and like they would rip like every other week. There were like 10 different instances of them ripping. If last year was the year of jerseys ripping during games, this is the year of players just forgetting to put their uniforms on.
That was tight, though. I'm into ripped jerseys. You know what I mean? I want to see like somebody looking like the Incredible Hulk out there with like
who do you guys think?
A lot of them happened on the very first night, right?
No, I think it continued for a couple of months before like Nike went back and like.
Oh yeah, I just mean there were like two the very first night of the season, which seems like an excessive.
It was against Ben Simmons at one point. I think he was like one of the first ones.
Draymond's jersey ripped.
Uh huh, for sure.
LeBron's did for sure.
here's a question for you guys. Which player do you guys think would be the most likely to, because, you know, now we've had a player forget his jersey. We had a player now forget his shorts. Who do you think is the player most likely to just, like, forget to put on shoes before a game?
This is a really good question. I mean, I kind of think it's Michael Beasley, right? Like,
I think he's not, like, enough of a hippie. I think that's what you really need is someone who's like, because you have to be someone who's like very comfortable being barefoot in the locker room. And for that reason, I would say Steven Adams, because I feel like Steven Adams maybe doesn't even put his jersey on until like seconds before he enters the court, because he's just like, you know, back where I'm from. Don't you think his feet are probably like essentially the soles of his feet are like the soles of regular shoes?
Probably a lot of calluses on that.
Yeah.
I mean, he did have like 18 brothers just like stepping on his feet all the time.
Wasn't that like debunked though?
Was it?
I feel like that was debunked. Doesn't have that many brothers and sisters.
Well, no, he just like there was this. I mean, you'd always hear like, oh, he had, you know, he's one of 18 kids. I feel like that was debunked recently. I'll have to look that up, but I feel like that was debunked.
Wow.
He has a book that just came out. I gotta get it. Still,
it turns out they were all his ex-wife. Just like the White Stripes. That's a White Stripes joke, everyone. All right.
Steven Adams' joke is, yeah, my life, my fight.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Lakers, you guys see Magic Johnson's tweet tonight after the game against OKC?
No, please read it to me.
This is a quote from Magic Johnson's Twitter. Laker Nation, capital N. Like, so Laker Nation, mm-hmm. Our young at Lakers grew up tonight with the victory over OKC! Exclamation point.
Is that true?
According to Magic Johnson, and by the way, the mentions to this tweet, the replies on this tweet are great. Cool story. Now go get at Aunt Davis 23. This one says, you're trading two of them, so don't even. Keep the momentum on and beat the Beard Man's team. Trade Ingram. Please sign Bryce Harper to the Dodgers. Treat them like you treat the Lakers. Don't trade our 23 and younger players.
What is the upside of tweeting if you're in the front office? Because you know what happened to us on those Daryl Morey tweets? Last night, I was up really late at like 4 in the morning, and two people from China replied to like our replies to Daryl Morey that were like, you need to get James Harden help.
Yeah.
I also love the idea of like, because then you've also got like, you know, people tweeting at Magic Johnson, like you think Magic Johnson is going to look through his Twitter mention and be like, well, you know, I hadn't thought about trading for Anthony Davis before, but this egg avatar or like this Lakers Nation 6969, like with the Lakers logo, like this person suggested I should trade for Anthony Davis. I should maybe look into that.
I mean, maybe that's where some of Magic's signings this summer came from. Like, cool signing of LeBron. Now go out and get us Lance Stephenson.
Do you guys remember? I want to say this was like 2011 or 2012. The Memphis Grizzlies signed Gilbert Arenas like in like March of that year. This was like the last time he was in the league because it was like already after he had like washed out in Orlando or whatever. But like the Grizzlies signed Gilbert Arenas, and then like somebody reported later that they got the idea to sign Gilbert Arenas because of like a True Hoop, whatever the True Hoop Grizzlies blog was back when like the True Hoop network was actually a blog network, like the True, somebody, some random like kid who wrote for the True Hoop blog network, Grizzlies site, had an article saying, oh, they should sign Gilbert Arenas. And somebody in the Grizzlies front office read it and was like, you know what? They make a good case. And then actually went out and signed Gilbert Arenas. Like, that's actually a real thing that happened.
See, was John Hollinger person still kept his ESPN?
No, this was,
that's
this
what
was,
that says.
This was before Hollinger got hired. This was before Hollinger.
Yeah. I could see maybe Robert Pena. Was that before he
Robert
owned the
Pera?
Team?
Pera.
You know, this was like right around the time he bought the team, because remember, because like Larry Ellison was going to buy the team and move them to San Jose, and then Robert Pera came in and bought the team.
Yeah, that sounds right. Larry Ellison also was the one who was supposed to buy the Warriors.
When Chris Cohen was selling
them. everyone said it was going to be Larry Ellison. And apparently he bid higher, but Joe Lacob still won the bid because he was nicer to Chris Cohan.
Yeah.
That's okay for the Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am definitely not complaining. Look, Larry Ellison does not seem cool.
No.
I mean, not that Joe Lacob's cool, but at least he wasn't the one who was helping that Theranos lady steal all those people's blood.
I'm going to look up this Gilbert because I'm 100% like I'm like 99% sure that like they actually it's like confirmed that a True Hoop blog post
that is so funny.
Was the impetus for hold on a second. I'm going to
Wikipedia still has Stephen Adams as having 17 siblings, by the way.
Oh, well, in that case.
So by the way,
what does Snopes have though, Sean?
Yeah. They got to get into it. So
March 22nd, 2012. This is from the reputable LarryBrownSports.com. This is just the first thing where that came up. Chris Wallace said on the Chris Vernon show, the idea came up a couple weeks ago. And he says, and then Chris Vernon presses him on it. And he says, this is Chris Wallace, the GM of the Grizzlies. He says, I'm going to admit this. I'm going to come clean. I'll be honest about it. Okay. I'm in the office of president of basketball operations, Greg Campbell. He says, you want to read this thing that's on a blog today. And I don't read the blog, but this guy wrote this case for Gilbert Arenas. And I read this and I read the thing and I said, Greg, you know something? This guy makes some sense. I thought about it and said, you know, we got to look into it a little further. So I call his agent up. I'm willing to admit it. I pride myself on being open-minded. And you look at the finances involved and the group of players involved. And why not?
That is incredible.
I gotta say, maybe this is what got John Hollinger hired.
Yeah,
he had enough of a background to be like, you know what?
They were. Big I do fans some others things with computers.
It was like no, it wasn't Hollinger. It wasn't like any of the actual ESPN. It wasn't like Henry Abbott.
Story, Sean. I'm just saying it's also funny that they then hired John Hollinger.
Yeah, that
like
they were just
later.
Like, that we need somebody who has used a computer for good and isn't like logging in through AOL.
This guy knows the blogs.
So Michael Beasley did not wear his correct shorts and then the Lakers won. That means he has to do it every game from now on, right?
Oh, he has to just pick a different pair of a different type. Like he has to like I don't remember like offhand if he wears a shooting sleeve or not, but he has to like maybe not wear a shooting sleeve. He has to not wear like those compression whatever. He's a headband guy. Don't wear a headband one game.
What if he just decides he's playing without underwear the rest of the season?
Come on, dude. There's no way he's wearing underwear anyway. That's why he didn't know that he had the wrong pair of shorts on. Dude, Michael Beasley is the most free-balling NBA player for sure, dude.
Do you guys remember that two off seasons ago? I think this was like right before he signed with the Knicks, where like there was a photo of Michael Beasley walking down the street in New York and he had Apple Watches on both of his ankles. Do you guys remember this?
Don't, but I mean, checks out.
Are you okay, Joey?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm dead. You killed me. all right.
I guess this means I'm the new temporary host of Round Ball Rock.
Oh, congratulations, Sean Hyken. I think you need to start prepping for that Daryl Morey interview right now.
Do you guys think Daryl Morey, like, I mean, like Daryl Morey, like I'll be the first to admit I'm not like a musical theater person at all, but like do you think Daryl Morey like appreciates Hamilton or likes Hamilton, or if he like he hears everybody talking about Hamilton and is just like, man, come on, watch a real musical?
I think he talked to Zach Lowe about liking Hamilton. On
I think he I bet he thinks it I'm sure he likes it, but I bet he also thinks it's overrated.
It was
he definitely likes In the Heights better than Hamilton.
Yeah, he for sure talked to Zach Lowe about it though, after Zach Lowe complained about his home life for like 45 minutes before asking the question.
Also, he really likes Sondheim, so I'm sure he likes the lyrical style of Hamilton.
Yeah. You know who doesn't...
I'll take your word for it. Hamilton is, like, legitimately the only musical I've seen.
You know who doesn't like the lyrical stylings of Hamilton? Immortal Technique, who once threw Lin-Manuel Miranda in a garbage can. True story. Look it up. All right.
that's pretty good.
Michael Beasley said that he was finding a new balance by wearing an Apple Watch on his leg. And... He also said he wore a burgundy dress from Zara because he was inspired by his favorite rapper, Young Thug.
Yeah, that definitely checks
out. Fucking rules, dude.
He's using 11% of his brain, Joey.
He's like a more benevolent version of Gilbert Arenas, basically. Just like, because you remember, like, Gilbert. Yeah. He's like Gilbert Arenas he had this kind of quirky, funny dude, like, you know, during his playing career, and then he's kind of shown himself now to be like, you know, maybe not the greatest dude, you know, from the gun stuff, and then, you know, some of this other stuff. He's like had some comments about different things that are like have not been great. Michael Beasley is just like the happy-go-lucky, not problematic version of Gilbert Arenas.
Like, Michael Beasley would never pick a fight with Joe Mandy, you know what I mean? Because he stole his jokes. That was actually a thing that happened.
He didn't steal Joe Mandy's.
I remember back when I was in college, I was like telling one of my college roommate about Gilbert Arenas, and so I pulled up Gilbert Arenas' Wikipedia page, and like, this is nowhere, this is not on, because this was pre-guns, so this was before, like, everybody kind of turned on Gilbert Arenas. This was before the Javaris Crittenden thing, and I remember at the time, there was like a whole section of Gilbert Arenas' Wikipedia page called Gilbertology, which was just like a list of the weird, you know, quirky stuff he did, and one of them was... There were many media reports. I'll never forget this. There were many media reports that Gilbert Arenas was addicted to online poker and would play online poker at some games. But in reality, he was asked about it and said that it was actually a DVD game, not online poker.
Oh.
Like, that was all, that was a line on it. That was on his Wikipedia page.
Great. He's a cool guy.
All right, we should move on to our next story.
Yeah, I did want to bring up that Luke Walton has now saved his job for 8 more days. So, though, congratulations.
Yeah, because the kid's great.
And
he's gonna survive until LeBron gets back.
He's
and then,
a dad.
Yeah, they're gonna lose like 2 games with LeBron back, and then they're gonna pull the trigger.
You can tell that the Lakers were killing them on the boards too, because Westbrook finished with 9 rebounds. And he didn't manage to get the triple double. Like, that's true dominance. If you can keep Westbrook, the trip dub, baby.
All right. For those of you that don't know, we here at Roundball Rock are the 77th most popular professional sports podcast in Senegal.
That's the Vladimir Radmanovich number, baby.
I know. It's the Luka Doncic number. I wonder if that's a coincidence. Yeah. But
stay
anyway.
Woke.
We are gunning for that number one spot, to use a movie that stars Michael Beasley. So, Sean, what's our Senegal news today?
All right. Well, last week, Dakar, Senegal hosted the CAF Awards, which is for the African Soccer Foundation, the whole continent. You know, they have the African Cup, the award ceremony. Very exciting. The winner was Mohamed Salah of Liverpool. He repeated as the African Player of the Year.
That is obvious, a travesty.
Yeah.
Sadio Mane of Liverpool.
Sadio Mane of Liverpool. Yes. His teammate.
He definitely should have been the Player of the Year.
Yeah. Salah is what Greg Easterbrook would call a glory boy. He likes to get the goals. But yeah, Mane is the heart of the team. He should have been the winner. He's Roundball Rock's African Player of the Year. So congratulations. Also, congratulations to His Excellency Macky Sall, the president of Senegal, for winning the Platinum Award. Mm-hmm. And to first team All-African defender Kalidou Koulibaly.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Napoli.
All right, that's your Senegal.
I'm logging into a VPN right now to make it look like I'm from Senegal, and then I'm going to subscribe and rate and view Roundball Rock.
Also, please cast a vote for His Excellency Macky Sall, the virtually unopposed president of Senegal running for re-election.
Is he like problematic, or
definitely not. There's nothing fantastic. Problematic he's in Senegal.
Yeah. No, he rules.
Senegal's the greatest. We love Senegal. Everything about Senegal.
I believe he's known as the Abraham Lincoln of Senegal.
I celebrate Akon's entire discography.
All right. Our real top story, honestly. We've talked for 33 minutes before getting to this. But Kyrie Irving called LeBron James to apologize while he was at dinner with Kevin Love.
Okay.
Quote, here's what Kyrie said. I apologized for being that young player that wanted everything at his fingertips, and I wanted everything at my threshold, and I wanted to be all that and the responsibility of being the best in the world, and leading your team is something that is not meant for many people. Bron was one of those guys who came to Cleveland and tried to show us how to win a championship.
Yeah, well, so he was one of those guys who came to Cleveland and tried to show them. One of. LeBron, one of those, you know, LeBron-like guys.
Hiken, what were you gonna say?
Well, did you guys see the scene setting stuff that came out afterwards?
I did.
Oh yeah.
So this is from Joe Varden at The Athletic. He writes this article that basically said that LeBron and Kevin Love were having dinner at an Italian restaurant in LA when LeBron looked down at his phone and saw that he had a missed call, and it was Kyrie.
Wow.
And then earlier today, Kevin Love tweets at Joe Varden and is like, hey, he showed me the call was before that. I never looked at anybody's phone. And this is like Kevin Love, like told Joe Varden on the record that this is what happened. And then, And then he tweeted and deleted like a thing saying that's not actually what happened. So there's like some mystery about whether this actually happened.
Right. Like, was it really a missed call? I mean, look, the journalistic standards of The Athletic are unimpeachable. So I'm going to believe that Kevin Love is a liar here.
No comment. I extremely have no comment about this.
This is so weird and hilarious that Kyrie said it like that, because essentially what he's saying is he apologized to his teammates for calling them out and then basically said, well, LeBron called out his teammates and that won them the championship. So he's essentially negating his initial apology, and he's kind of making himself equivalent to LeBron, right? Isn't that
well?
What
this, is just,
like,
this is just so passive aggressive. Like, he basically was just like, he didn't even like, he isn't even saying like, I apologize to my teammates. He's really more saying like, yeah, he's making it about LeBron.
Right. That's like, the thing about this that's amazing is
like Kyrie is
he's gone full galaxy brain where he's
here's the thing. This is exactly how LeBron would handle this exact situation. Obviously, LeBron is, you know, such an exceptional, you know, outlier in literally every sense of everything that, like, there's nobody like LeBron was mentored by that. Now he's going to, you know, understand his wisdom later. But like, if LeBron were going to, you know, walk back some criticisms that he made of his teammates, he would do it in the exact same way. He would be like, you know, let's just say hypothetically, like, yeah, you know, I called Kobe and I asked him for leadership advice, and he told me this, and so this is what I'm doing. Like,
by
he
the way, I finally buried the hatchet with Pat Riley.
That's exactly what it would be. He'd be like, yeah, you know, I called Pat Riley, and we just, you know, he and I talked about it, and I told him, I'm sorry for trying to get you fired, or trying to get her expulsed or fired, my first year in Miami. And so now I regret undermining David Blatt, or like, whatever.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to get Luke Walton fired.
Right, exactly.
Because he's doing both things. He's like, you know, I'm really sorry I called out my teammates like that, but also I'm going to continue doing that. And I'm going to both blame LeBron, excuse myself from 5 years ago. What's Kyrie going to do next?
I mean, I've got to say, real quick, again, I know I defended Kyrie earlier this week already, but I want to do it again because so many media, Boston media people today were like, Kyrie knew he was wrong. He's making it all about him. And it's like, he's the only one playing well. Like, I'd be frustrated too. Like, yeah, you probably shouldn't be calling out your teammates every single day, but like,
I mean, well, the under-talked about thing about stuff, all yeah. about this about the Celtics struggling the way that they that they have is like all these guys, like, how are they going to trade for Anthony Davis now? Like is Jaylen Brown like an Anthony Davis centerpiece type of player at this point?
Jason Tatum is still a zygote, so don't forget
he's
about
really
that.
Young he's a really lot young of people don't really talk about
that. He's so young that. It's like sometimes I'm like, is it even legal to talk about him on a podcast? Like, don't we need like parental consent? It just seems unethical to be discussing a literal child.
So
yeah, but also the next Larry Bird.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Look, the funny thing about if we're going to bring up Anthony Davis. The funny thing we all know about Anthony Davis is it's actually LeBron is deciding where Anthony Davis goes, so I don't think it's going to be the Celtics no matter what the package is, right?
Yeah, yeah, because somehow it's totally cool that LeBron owns a sports agency.
Yeah.
We don't want to mess up Hyken's access here, so let's
move on. What it feels like to me, though, like with that one, is like the NBA is almost like we didn't really think that this could happen, that a player could also own a sports agency.
Well, see, here's
so we didn't make it illegal.
Well, so here's my theory on this whole thing. This is a take from the legendary lost episode of Take It or Break It.
Oh wow,
thank God, because no one ever talks about that.
Yeah, so this is I actually this is not the first time I've run this back, because I made this my sports person of the year thing on a different episode of Take It or Break It. But my theory, when the Lakers Anthony Davis stuff was first starting, was around the time that we recorded the lost episode of TOB, and so I posited the theory then that the Lakers thing, that like the idea that, oh, because LeBron and Anthony look because Anthony Davis signed with Clutch, like LeBron wants him on the Lakers, that's a false flag. And what's really happening is they're going to get Anthony Davis onto a different, you know, big market team so that they can just spread around the Clutch influence throughout the league. Like I've since expounded on this, not publicly, but I'm going to, I guess, you know, since I like you guys, I'm going to go on record and, you know, make my prediction now.
Hell yeah, dude.
Okay. Wow.
This is not a Take It or Break It lost episode rehash. This is exclusive new material right here.
Oh no, I just lost this episode.
So they've got Ben Simmons in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
They've got they theoretically, if he's ever healthy again, they've got John Wall in Washington.
Well, that's they've a big got, get.
they've got one of they've got a guy in Milwaukee alongside Giannis with Eric Bledsoe. Okay. They're gonna get Anthony Davis into a big market. Like, they're gonna get him to Boston, they're gonna get him somewhere that's not LA. I will bet Zion Williamson is going to sign with Clutch, and then New York or Chicago is going to magically win the draft lottery. So they're going to have a guy in either New York or Chicago who's going to be like the next superstar.
So LeBron will also be rigging the draft as well as free agency.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, yeah, totally. And so, like, eventually, basically, the way that this is all going to work is, like, let's say Anthony Davis goes to Boston. Let's say they win a championship before LeBron's Lakers ever do. Then LeBron will still benefit from one of his guys winning a championship with Clutch, or one of the Clutch guys winning a championship. And then eventually this is all going to culminate in like 20 years in Maverick Carter succeeding Adam Silver as commissioner of the NBA. And it's going to be the National LeBron Association.
Wow. Will they like excommunicate the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. This is three-dimensional chess.
Yeah, they're gonna Seattle Golden State.
Yeah,
because that's the one place they don't have anybody.
Well, hey, I mean, if Kevin Durant sticks around long enough, then you know maybe he can retire in Seattle.
Wow.
See, I just brought this all full. So I just brought the last like 20 years of the league full circle here.
All right, I'm gonna bet $10,000 on this, Sean. So if it doesn't work out, you owe me $10,000.
On what? Just Maverick Carter being commissioner of the NBA in 20 years.
I mean, was LeBron rigging the draft lottery in advance of his return to Cleveland when he was still in Miami?
I mean,
the Cavs 3 out of 4.
Well, wait, like, so are the Cavs going to get, basically what's going to happen is, like, I don't know, because like I think they need the Clutch needs a presence in New York or Chicago, and they need like a significant player. So I think, you know, they need one of those two cities to get Zion. But if Cleveland gets Zion, then that's going to just set up, you know, LeBron Jr. getting drafted by the Cavs and then LeBron playing there the last year of his career. So it's going to be the big three of LeBron Jr. and Zion.
Well, he would also be evoking a player who had a very similar body type when he played for the Cavaliers, Sean Kemp. So that should be good.
Hell yeah.
The two heaviest power forwards in NBA history.
Orlando Magic icon, Sean Kemp. Portland Trail Blazers icon, Sean Kemp.
Portland Trail Blazer, yeah.
Sean, you have a note about this Kevin Love LeBron dinner.
Yes,
you wanna...
because this is Round Ball Rock and we have to cover this, it's interesting that Kevin Love and LeBron James were eating dinner together because 2 years ago, Kevin Love became very sick upon eating some bad sea bass, which, as we know, is LeBron James's favorite food,
right,
and now Dwayne Wade's favorite food. Mm-hmm. Kevin Love got very sick and he lost 10 pounds, but he's still eating with LeBron. So that just shows how charismatic, what a good leader LeBron is. Or he just ordered the sea bass. Kevin Love looked uncomfortable and LeBron told him to fit in or fit out. Fish in or fish out, maybe.
James Harden,
also, yeah.
I found this on the just as reliable a website as Chartable.com. Mm. StarsInformer.com, my favorite website. Yeah. James Harden's favorite food is also sea bass.
Yeah. Well.
So we're here. If you are out there and you have any NBA related sea bass news, please let us know at RoundRockPod on Twitter.com.
Dave Schilling did ask Dwayne Wade directly about this.
He did.
The podcast is actually now called Seabass Rock.
I mean, if LeBron or Dwayne Wade wants to come on, we would rename it there.
No, I have a no players rule, remember? The only player we're allowed to have on is Jack Cooley or Anthony Randolph. That's a rule. We'll have any GM on, though.
Would you have Luka Doncic on?
No. Grantland Jr., I don't want to make him listen to any more songs about himself. It made me too uncomfortable. Should we talk about Dennis Smith Jr., you guys?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
So the Dennis Smith Jr. story has gotten stranger today, where before, earlier this week, we all thought it was the Mavs who wanted to trade Dennis Smith Jr., but now it turns out that Dennis Smith Jr. is the one who wants the trade from the Mavs, and the Mavs don't want to trade him.
Well, and the Mavs were... It was rumored that the Mavs were shopping him, and they kind of made up a back injury.
Right.
But now it turns out that is not the case. Dennis Smith Jr. wants out.
Mm-hmm. So he's
had enough.
So he's boycotting playing for Rick Carlisle? Right now, is that what this is?
His new thing is that he apparently has a stomach virus, and apparently it's about as legit as the back injury.
Hyken, what is the what's your go-to illness when you're calling in sick to work and you're lying?
Just go sore throat, because then it's really easy to just kind of, you know, change your voice up, and they can't tell you that you're lying.
Keen, what's yours?
Food poisoning. I specifically blame Seabass when I do it, too.
Totally.
Just to see if they're listeners.
See, I like a, I like just a full on, just like, I like to be really specific about whatever the illness I decide is, where it's like, just something they really don't want to hear about, where I'm like, I've been bleeding out of my anus for three days.
I, you know, it's just, the girl I met, I thought it was a woman I met last night, but it was, it's a crazy experience. Hello? And then they're like, you know, why don't you take the rest of the week off?
Yeah.
Just in case.
So my first question about Dennis Smith, you guys, that isn't sickness related, is Dennis Smith good enough to demand a trade?
No, of course not.
I don't think he's good enough to demand, like, a number or a certain seat on the team plane.
Is he the worst player to demand a trade, though?
No.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was, like, looking at his cable subscription and was like, can I look at on demand? And they're like, you don't have access to that. You need to play better. What would he... Who's worse that's demanded a trade?
That's it's weird. Sasha Pavlovich held out for a contract.
I mean, I would say Danny Ferry. That's like the closest I can think. Where he demanded a trade from the Clippers. Yeah, which ended up being amazing for the Clippers because they got Ron Harper.
Yeah.
And not a balding 21-year-old.
Yeah, I can't think of...
You know what, Danny Ferry, I gotta say, doesn't have enough African in him. He needs to visit Senegal, I think.
Well, hey, Luol Deng is from Sudan.
That's not Senegal. Don't pull a
You can't group all Gladwell.
I didn't say Luol Deng was from Senegal. I just said Danny Ferry should go there.
I know. I'm messing.
Everybody should go to Senegal.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. But,
yeah. Even though Malcolm Gladwell thinks that South Africa is the same.
Yeah, it's probably Danny Ferry. He's worse than Dennis Smith, I think. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell how good Dennis Smith actually is, right?
Well, he's a guy that, like, he looked really good at Summer League, and he had his moments last year, and, like, but it's like, okay, it's one of those whole things where it's like, you know, is he going to actually be a good player, or is he going to be the kind of guy who, like, puts up really good numbers on a bad team and, like, as a six man? It's one of those things. I mean, here's the thing, though. He's so young. Like, I don't want to, like, say, oh, this is what this guy is. This is what his career is going to be. I don't want to, like, just give up on a guy this, you know, this early, but it does seem like he can't really, like, him and Doncic isn't really a great fit next to each other. So, like, maybe they should trade him and get, you know, a fresh start. I don't know.
To me, it seems too early to do
any
of that.
I agree, but the thing is, he's the one who's demanding the trade. So it's like, I feel like all of that's okay. This is what I think is a little questionable. Dennis Smith Jr. in college got mad at his coach and, like, didn't play defense and was on a terrible team. So, like, This is twice in the last 2.5 years that Dennis Smith has gotten upset at the coaching situation and sulked about it. That's not a great sign.
I have a counter, though. Sean, would you enjoy playing for Rick Carlisle as a point guard?
I mean, no. But
Eigen, like, would you?
The only point guard that's ever, like, gotten along well with Rick Carlisle is basically Jason Kidd the title year, right?
Even they didn't get along.
Yeah. I mean, J.J. Barea got along with him well.
Yeah, he's Rick Carlisle's Kirk Heinrich.
I get that it's probably not that much fun to play with Rick Carlisle, but I just wonder if, like, his agent can't be happy about this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always interesting
not
to see,
listening,
like,
to anyone.
It's always interesting to see kind of what gets reported, because, like, of course the Mavericks are going to say, you know, we want to reconcile things with Dennis Smith. We want to, you know, make this work, because if they say that, oh, you know, yeah, you know, we have to trade him, we're trying to trade him, then they have no leverage because everybody's going to know that they have to trade him. But if they at least like pay lip service to, oh, you know, we're trying to make this work, we might keep him just for appearances sake, then maybe if a team really wants him, then they up their offer.
Yeah, it feels like he's blowing up the chance to trade him, to get traded, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, but we thought, I mean, on the one hand, we thought Jimmy Butler was doing the same thing, and then Minnesota ended up getting a pretty good deal for him. But on the other hand, that's Jimmy Butler.
True. This is kind of like if Stephon Marbury asked to be traded from the Kevin Garnett Timberwolves immediately instead of having the like one or two cool years they had. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I would probably, at this point though, I would be betting against Dennis Smith becoming a star for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I wouldn't give up on him. I certainly would. Just hold on to him for a while if I could.
My favorite
Mavs, but
my favorite suggestion that I've seen is the Frank Ntilikina one.
Yeah, because it's like trading to, because Ntilikina like is such
I think he's also a guy like I think he could be good in the right situation, but it's clearly not going to happen for him in New York.
Right, he just can't be on the ball. Like he's not a good enough ball handler.
Right, and so you play him with Luka, and he can come over. Weaknesses defensively.
The Knicks took Frank above Dennis Smith Jr., right? One pick ahead of him?
Right, but that was a Phil pick, though. That wasn't the current regime.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then it does feel like Tim Hardaway Jr. would be a good fit in Dallas, and doesn't it seem like they're trying to get someone who was signed past this year in the deal?
I don't know. Well, the thing is, they're trying to unload the Wesley Matthews contract, and that's like $18 million. So there's only so many guys that you can take back that are also expiring. Like, you're basically looking at like Enes Kanter and Jabari Parker as like your two expiring contracts. And I don't really see them wanting either one of those guys.
But what's the hurry to dump those guys? Like, his contract's expiring, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I think
that's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. Is
well,
that
like, but I think it's also just like a thing of like they're not going to re-sign him, and they don't want to just like let him walk for nothing. So they want to try to get something for him, or you want to, I don't know. It's
very weird hearing them insist on attaching Wes Matthews or JJ Barea in this Dennis Smith deal, because to me it's like, well, if you're not trying to get someone who's going to be there past the season, why? Why do you care? Like,
look, I came
like
up
these guys
with
have
the best
30
trade
games
for
left
this.
On their
Let's
deals.
Be honest, guys. The best trade they could do right now is to take back both Mike Conley and Marc Gasol and give up DeAndre Jordan's expiring contract, Wes Matthews' expiring contract, and Dennis Smith Jr.
I actually think just a smaller version of that where it's just Mike Conley and Wes Matthews and you leave the centers out of it. I actually, because like, I don't know, that Gasol contract that has like three, like,
Gasol's claiming he's opting out now. Remember that report came out the same day.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I would just do the.
I mean, look, it's going to be incredible when Dennis Smith Jr. gets to Memphis, finally outside of the oppressive boot of Rick Carlisle, and leads the Memphis Grizzlies to the playoffs.
All right, Sean, you want to get to our next story here?
Let's do our next story.
Let's talk about Joel Embiid, right?
I guess that's true. I did want to ask Hyken about, do you actually think the Sacramento Kings are trying to trade for Harrison Barnes?
I don't.
And if so, like, what is Dallas doing?
I don't think that's a terrible fit for Sacramento. And I actually would rather do that, because like the thing I'm worried about with Sacramento is, and like you could kind of see this coming a mile away, just like with that organization's track record, like, okay, have this year where they're supposed to, you know, where they were supposed to be terrible and they're actually respectable and they're like in the mix for the playoffs. I'm really worried that this summer they're going to be like, you know, oh, well, we just need to sign, you know, one or two more guys. And I'm worried it's going to be like the Blazers in 2016, the summer, like LaMarcus Aldridge left and, you know, they lost like they turned over like most of their team and everybody thought they were going to be rebuilding. And then they actually made the playoffs that year. And then they made the second round just because like all the Clippers good players got injured. Uh-huh. And Neil Olshey basically just lost his mind and was just like, hey, look, we made the second round of the playoffs. We're a contender. We need to pay Evan Turner $72 million. Like, I'm worried that Sacramento is going to do the same thing if they just have all this cap space this summer in free agency. They're going to sign, like, God, I don't know. Like, who's like a free, like, they're going to sign, like, Rudy Gay, or they're going to bring
DeAndre
Rudy Gay
Jordan.
That would be right. Incredible.
Well, right. No, DeAndre Jordan. They're going to sign DeAndre Jordan to, like, a $90 million contract or something. Like, they're going to just, like, take this one year where it's like, okay, they actually were better than expected, and then just, like, completely blow it by making all these terrible signings. I think, like, getting a guy like Harrison Barnes, where, you know, he has signed for one more year after this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good player. Like, he's over, like, you could say, is he overpaid? Sure. But he's a good player. He's a good player. He would help them. And, you know, you can take on some money for next year. Take yourselves out of free agency. Don't make any bad long-term decisions. Like, I actually wouldn't hate that for them.
Doesn't he feel like a Sacramento King waiting to happen, too? Like, he's like,
absolutely.
You know, he's a Bay Area 7, and he's a Sacramento 10.
He 100% like the black, would kill the "I'm a pizza guy" line read.
Uh-huh. Like, Black Falcons.
Oh, totally. No,
like,
no, Harrison Barnes is like, I mean, he's exactly the kind of guy who should, like, I mean, he's been pretty decent on this Dallas team. Like, people kill him because of his contract, but he's, you know, in what he knows what he is as a player. He plays his role. He's a good teammate, good. He's the kind of guy that, like, the small market fans in Sacramento, like, they would be like, oh, you know, they would embrace him, I feel like.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, there's somebody in Sacramento who's going by the Black Falcon right now.
Yeah, totally.
Also politically ambitious, and it's in the state capital, so...
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
look,
Sean.
He needs to get to the Kings.
All right, Sean Keane.
Yes.
Walk us through our final story. Joel Embiid trolling the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Sixers killed the Timberwolves, and afterwards Joel Embiid tweeted, "It was an honor to be part of the third stringers and get a win against real NBA starters," which is a reference to Jimmy Butler's insane practice when he led a team of third stringers over the starters, verbally abused the entire management structure of the Timberwolves, and insisted that Karl Anthony Towns try to score on him on a post up. So he basically is—he's
sucking up to Jimmy Butler.
Sucking up to Jimmy Butler, which I gotta say, probably a smart move overall. And yeah, that's a funny way to troll the Timberwolves, but it definitely felt like he's sucking up to Jimmy Butler.
More. You know, he had that, like, ready to go too. Like, he had already spent he had already run that caption past like all the different guys, and like, he ran that past Jimmy for sure. He ran that past I don't know who he runs, like, all of his social media stuff by. I don't think he just, like, does stuff by himself completely on the fly. I'm sure he has, like, a group text with, like, some people where he's just like, hey, would this be a funny tweet? Would this be a funny? Because, I mean, who among us hasn't workshopped a tweet in a group DM sent it out? Like, Joel Embiid definitely has, like, a group DM that he workshops this stuff in. So he definitely.
It's a bunch of teens. Don't you think Joel Embiid, like, pays some teens, like, hey, help me roast, help me be fire on the internet?
It's like guys who have made him Shirley Temples in the past.
Yeah, no, totally. Like his Postmates, surely. Because have you guys know what my, like, did you guys read the Jonathan Abrams Boys Among Men book?
I did, yeah. Well, I listened to it.
So, like, you know the story I'm talking about here, right? My favorite Joel Embiid story of all time. This is from that book. But basically, like, the summer, like, that Joel Embiid was preparing for the draft, he was staying with Arne Tellem and his wife, like, in their house. And at one point, he learned how to use Postmates or Seamless. He learned how to use one of those services. And what he would do is he would start, like, he would order an appetizer from one place, an entree from one place, a drink from another place, like a dessert from, and just, like, have, you know, all these different orders coming to him and just building a meal from different places. That was like one of the greatest stories I've ever read.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So what I'm saying is, like, all his Postmates delivery people, he just, like, kept their numbers, and, like, the ones that, like, you know, we're like, oh, you're Joel Embiid. Like he would be like, oh, cool. Like, I will, you know, like, text you guys, like, hey, would this be a funny Instagram? What should I make my Instagram location on this picture of me, like, posterizing, you know, whoever? So Joel Embiid definitely, like, had this ready to go. This sick burn on the Timberwolves. Like, as soon as, like, I think as soon as, like, the Timberwolves practice happen. Like Joel Embiid, like he's so online and he's so in tune with this stuff that when that practice, like before the trade even happened, like when Jimmy went back to practice and did this, like the playing with the third stringers and did the interview with Rachel Nichols, the gears started turning in Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he wrote this initially for when he beat the Timberwolves.
Well, no, but also, like, I think he probably, like, had some idea that, like, maybe they were going to get in the mix on these trade talks with Miami. Because I think it was, like, just Miami, really, that the Timberwolves were talking to at the time. And I think, like, he kind of, like, you know, these guys read Twitter. These guys see the rumors. Like, they see that, like, these guys have the Woj alerts turned on just like everybody else. Like, they see that, you know, maybe Miami isn't stepping up their offer. So I'm sure in the back of Joel Embiid's head, he's like, hey, you know, maybe we'll get in the mix for Jimmy Butler. Maybe we'll, you know, do this trade. And then if that happens, when they play the Timberwolves, I got a burn ready to go.
Yeah, that story all checks out to me for sure. Now, Hyken, you covered Jimmy Butler in Chicago.
I did.
And I want to see if a Jimmy Butler story checks out with you as someone who covered Jimmy Butler. So he had an as-told-to story, as told to Mark Spears in The Undefeated today.
I didn't see this, but go ahead.
I'm going to read you some quotes.
Okay.
Someone asked him if he knew how many number 30 picks made it to their second contract. And he said, quote, "But I got mad. I took it as disrespect. I work incredibly hard. I know I belong."
By the way, they almost certainly were
complimenting him.
Yeah, because... But well, Jimmy Butler did look it up, and there are not a lot that get a second contract.
Apparently. Well, see here's how, if this were really going to be fully Jimmy, what he would have had to say, if somebody asked him, "Do you know how many number 30 picks got their second contract?" He would be like, "No, I didn't know that because I'm in the gym too much. I don't even like pay attention to what number pick I am." Like, he's really big on. I like 2 weeks ago, I on NBA TV there was this interviews, like it was like a Kevin Garnett Area 21 like sit down interview with Jimmy Butler, and nobody, like, Garnett asked him like a bunch of different questions, and every single one of Jimmy's answers, which as somebody who covered him, this is like super on brand for him, he's just like, "Man, you know, I just want to win. Like, I just want to win so badly. That's why I'm in the gym all the time. Like, this, like, I like Jimmy, you know, I'm just, to be clear, Jimmy works his ass off, and obviously Jimmy, to be the number 30 pick and come from where he came from and get to where he is, like, Jimmy worked extremely hard to get where he is."
Oh, I've heard Jimmy Butler say that 20 or 30 times. Well,
but that's the thing. I mean, Jimmy does work extremely hard, but Jimmy also is huge on making sure everybody knows how much harder he works than everybody else. Like, that's his brand.
All right, Keane, do you have another quote?
Just to be clear, yeah. I'm not saying that as a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's just,
oh, for sure.
No, it's just when you bring it up in every single interview, it's not like he's new to the league. You know what I mean? Like we've gotten the picture
that Jimmy Butler story
that you
by
like.
Now.
It's an
incredible story, by the way. He was basically homeless when he was a teenager, and then he was the number 74 ranked shooting guard out of the state of Texas in his high school class.
It is an amazing story.
Look, he took it as disrespect, Hyken. He works incredibly hard, and he knows he belongs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keen, read Hyken another quote and see if this quote checks out to Hyken.
"I like it when people say I've changed. I would agree, I have, because if you're not changing, you're not evolving. That means you're being stuck. The world is constantly changing. My house is a little bigger. I got a few more cars. My clothes are a little different. My jewelry is a little different. The way I think about things is a little different. But yeah, you do change. What do you want me to do? You want me to live in the same kind of house with no gate on a busy street that I could do when I was a first-year player in the league? I'm sorry, I can't do that. For my safety, for a lot of other reasons as well."
I'm pretty sure that Jimmy has like said that exact quote verbatim, like, to, like back when he was with the Bulls.
It's also weird that literally anyone said, like, you know, "My problem with Jimmy Butler is that his house is too nice." That's when I watch him and I see his interactions. That's the main thing that jumps out to me, is that I think he should live on a busier street.
All right. Here's another one. "Tell you the truth, I don't really worry about the perception of me from everybody. Only the
to tell you the truth is a Jimmy staple, by the way. That's a Jimmy staple.
I don't really worry about the perception of me from everybody. Only the people that are around me every day. If somebody that's around me every day is saying, look, man, you coming off this way and that way, then I gotta take a step back. Like, damn, you're around me every day. You see my mannerisms. You see how I'm interacting with people? You're probably right. So if you're not one of those people, it's really hard for your perception to be spot on correct if you don't talk to me every day, or you don't like the way I answer something, or the way that I handle something.
Yeah, so, that's also, that sounds right.
Essentially, that's like, hey, if you think I'm an asshole, you need to see me every day and see that I am exactly the same kind of asshole every day.
See, I read this as only Mark Wahlberg can tell me when I'm wrong.
Okay, talking about this year in Minnesota, he said, I would say it was a great chapter in my life, like all the other ones that I've had. I still have some pretty good relationships with a lot of people over there. I have no bad things to say about anybody. Yeah, because he said them all.
He did say them all. Yeah.
And then in Philly, he says, regarding Philly, he said, I think as long as everybody's honest with one another, which is what I'm telling everybody every day, like if somebody has a problem with something or somebody, you just talk to them, you figure it out. It does seem like he's talking to people in Philly, right?
Yeah, and like especially because, you know, remember there was like, you know, there was all this like this perception that he just like didn't, you know, he didn't like Carl Anthony Towns, like he didn't think he works hard enough, whatever.
He played Fortnite all night.
He gets a Philly immediately. He goes out of his way. He goes out of his way to in Philly. He goes out of his way to be like, hey, you know, Markelle Fultz. Like we're with Markelle Fultz. Like he's part of the brotherhood. You know, we see him working hard. Like he's making an. He's like going out of his way to not act the way he acted in Minnesota then, towards his teammates. Now Brett Brown. The Brett Brown thing is a totally other.
He was.
Does he address that?
Does not really.
No, he's just like, no, it's fine. I was just being honest. I think like. Okay, there's two things that are going on here for me. One is that when people are saying tell the truth or talking about how honest they are, immediately
they're being huge assholes.
I have like a little I just have like a little alarm bell that's like, why are you telling me that you're not lying to me right now? But also, I mean, Jimmy seems like he's absolutely one of those guys who's like you said a really mean thing. But he's like, but it's okay. I really believed that mean thing I said. You know,
yeah,
I'm
it's
honest
all
with
out
you.
Out of love, right? Yeah. It's out of love. Like I give you the brutal. Like I tell it like it is. Yeah, okay. That's 100% how Jimmy is.
I have.
It's not necessarily. I'm being. Just to be clear, this is not necessarily a bad thing. This is just. Yeah, this is how he is. Yeah.
You're just being honest. You're
no,
telling.
We're asking you as a person who has actually talked to Jimmy Butler before. If yeah. this is what yeah. he's actually no, like.
Okay. No, I probably like if you had asked me to write like what I think that the Jimmy Butler as told to thing would be like, I think I probably would have like written exactly what you guys just read. Like none of this is surprising to me in any way that he said any of this.
All right, and finally,
okay, as a Butlerologist, I have a question for you, Sean.
Okay.
Does Jimmy regret anything?
Oh no, never.
No, he does not. He said, I do not. I don't have regrets. There's not too many things you can change, whether you do it out of anger, fear. I'm not going to regret it because it all plays a factor in who I am. It may play a factor in what people think of me as well, but I know who I am. I know where my heart is. I'm not going to say that I think everything through thoroughly. No, but everybody makes mistakes. I don't think I do anything to hurt anybody. Well, I don't on purpose. I should say, I just don't, man. I don't regret anything. Obviously, he doesn't regret anything. My favorite part of that is
I don't regret telling Brett Brown he looks like a real estate agent and not a basketball coach.
But he's also like, look, it's fine. I don't always think everything through. That's true. Everybody makes mistakes. I don't do anything to hurt anyone. Well, sometimes I do. But I just don't regret anything. I'm Jimmy Butler. You can't be a person who regrets things and have the journey that he had. Wouldn't you think like that? It kind of seems like he maybe had to be a maniac to make it this far.
I think that's true, right? Isn't every athlete that makes it this far actually a maniac? And some of them are just more open about it.
Yeah, he's just honest. He's giving you his truth. Yeah. I think that.
And especially, and like I said earlier, especially coming from the background that he came from, where he had to. I mean, and the whole thing with him with Towns, and I was saying this like back in the summer when the stuff was first starting to go on. He is a guy where he is like psychotically competitive because he has had to be his entire career. He was, you know, most of these guys like okay. So think about who like the other top 10-ish players are in the league. You know, you got always got guys like, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kevin, like it's all these guys who like have been told they're the best player in the world, or like they've been the best player on every team they've ever been on since they were like 12.
Right.
And so they've been in that, you know, they've been basically preparing to be NBA stars since they were 12. And with that comes like the leadership side of it and like the interacting with teammates side of it. And so when you're a guy like LeBron or you're, you know, a Kevin Durant or whoever, you're going to have more practice at that stuff and you're going to be more polished at that stuff because you've literally been practicing that since you were playing on an AAU team when you were 11 or 12. With Jimmy Butler, like he, you know, the background that he comes from, he was not recruited at all out of college. He went to junior college for 2 years before he went to Marquette. He was the 30th pick in the draft. He didn't play, but like nobody ever thought he would become as good as he ended up becoming. And so he never had that, like, as a kid, like, I'm the best player on this team. I'm going to be an NBA star. I need to learn how to be a leader and like lead a team and, you know, be a guy that a teammates rally around. He's never had that. And so with him, now that he's in the NBA and he is this, you know, all-star, all-NBA type of guy, he looks at a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, who has been, you know, who was the number one pick and who was a heavily hyped prospect and who like went through the whole AAU system and all that. He looks at that guy and is like, why doesn't this guy work as hard as I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder too, if don't you think that maybe because Ben Simmons is from Australia and Joel Embiid also came out of nowhere, that he maybe just has a different perception of those dudes too?
Well, I think he's seen with Embiid. I think first of all, I think the thing he respects about both of those guys are like big time shit talkers. Where like, and they don't back down from stuff. Like, I feel like Jimmy respects that Embiid will just like talk, like does these like trolling Instagram posts, and he's not afraid to go at guys, because the thing about Embiid is he can dish it out, but he can take it too. Like, he's not gonna, like, he's self deprecating. He can laugh at himself. Like, if Jimmy yells at him in practice, he's gonna go right back at him. And I think Jimmy is gonna respect that about him. And I think Ben Simmons is kind of the same way, whereas I think that the thing that he had about Karl Anthony Towns, whether this is right or wrong, I don't spend enough time around the Timberwolves to know this all this for sure. I can only go off like what I've read, but like he always felt like, you know Karl Anthony Towns, you know, is this heavily hyped, you know, number one guy, but he doesn't like go at, like, if somebody goes at you, like if Jimmy were to go at Towns, he would just kind of take it and lie down and not really go back at him. And I think Jimmy doesn't respect you unless you do go back at him.
Makes sense to me. Okay, Sean. Do you have any hiking? I mean, do you have any like, not in writing, obviously, because you can't really do that. But do you have any Jimmy Butler in you when you're like playing video games or whatever, where you're like, I gotta go after this guy? Because I am not competitive at all.
I certainly have a chip on my shoulder about various things and various, without getting into like specifics, various, you know, outlets that have either not hired me or let me go, or, you know, people, you know, if I feel like I was, you know, professionally disrespected. I'm sure everybody who's in this business kind of has that to a degree, but, you know, yeah, there are certain people where like, I want to outwork these specific people, or, you know, all this, like, I'm not going to go into specifics about who, but like, I think everybody, I'm sure you guys, like in the comedy world, I'm sure there are like comedy, you know, people that you see and you're just like, oh, I want to beat that guy. I want to destroy that guy.
Yeah. I would also say though, that of the people that I know in comedy that get like famous, they have a drive that I do not have. If that makes sense. Like a
fair
specific
enough. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not, it's like a supernatural, like they just want it more. So I understand. I'm an Andrew Wiggins. It's fair. It's fair.
You stay up all night playing Fortnite.
I do.
Yes. And you and I fight about it all the time because I'm staying up all night playing Tetris.
I wouldn't mind being Andrew Wiggins if someone wanted to give me $145 million.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Someone should give me $145 million. I will look you in the eye and promise to work hard.
That's true. Yeah,
all right. Absolutely.
Keen, did you want to talk about the London game real quick?
Yeah, just real fast. It was just, it's hilarious that the NBA is, you know, they have a London game because they're trying to build international interest in basketball.
Which, again, I have suggested that instead of sending NBA players, they should also just send the Jacksonville Jaguars. The people in London would never know the difference.
It's the same. They're going there already. They might have apartments. But the NBA, you know, reasonably wants it to not be like as bad as it could be travel wise. So they basically just send teams who play in the Northeast. But that means for the last 6 or 7 years, they're sending terrible teams all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like the Nets, the Knicks, the Sixers before 2 years ago. And so this was maybe
anytime a game can end on a goaltend.
A goaltend between the Knicks and the Washington Wizards. And I mean, obviously, you know, like people in England, I don't know what basketball is on TV, but
did they like think Kristaps Porzingis was going to be back by then before they?
No, they just only send Atlantic Division teams, basically.
Because the flight's
and
so
they're like,
shorter.
Oh, New York, that's a big city. And it's not. Yeah, it's not that big a flight. So the Knicks, this is like the Knicks' third or fourth London trip. And so, yeah, they goaltended a Thomas Bryant shot at the buzzer, which is incredible. But if you are a big NBA fan and you see these games and really focus on them, there are like some wild misperceptions you would have. First of all, that Luke Kornet is a like the greatest 3-point shooter in the NBA. Because he was knocking out shots. Emmanuel Mudiay went for 25 points tonight.
Luke Kornet.
Oh, Kornet, sorry. I don't care about him at all. And also, it would be funny if NBA TV was still blacked out in London. Because that was an NBA TV. So other confusing London performances I just want to bring up. Carmelo Anthony dominated a year after dominating in the Olympics. And so I wonder if you're like a London basketball fan, you're like, they did him wrong. Like, jumper Mello. It's a dominant force. But my favorite game was there was a, I guess this was a Knicks-Nets game, probably
in
5 years.
2007 or something? Or no, 2010? What?
I think it was 2011, maybe? Okay. I have it somewhere. But it was a triple overtime game.
Jesus Christ.
So Chris Humphries, I think, put up like 20 and 20. I think Darren Williams had like 17 assists. Sasha Vujicic had his career high of 25 points. And all scorers were led by Andrea Bargnani, who went for 35 points. And I don't know if this has ever happened in NBA history. He missed game-winning shots at the end of the first, second, and third overtime in that game.
Holy shit.
What an experience to watch, you know, 63 minutes of some of the worst basketball you've ever seen. I think one of the players played like 54 minutes in that game. Just truly great stuff.
All right. Hyken, what is the worst basketball game you've ever seen in person? Hyken, you there?
Oh my God. I mean, I covered some pretty bad Bulls teams.
Yeah, I was going to say I think the worst basketball game I ever saw in person was definitely a late era Don Nelson game with
Like 2009
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, I think it was that game where I got mad at the Warriors for beating the Thunder.
Which was an incredible game. Yeah, this is probably 2010, and the Warriors end up upsetting the, I think, 8 seed that year, Oklahoma City Thunder. And we watched it. We got really cheap luxury.
We
were in a luxury box because all the tickets were like $15 each because... very exciting, and everyone was very excited at Monte Ellis defeating Kevin Durant, except Joey, who was just like, they are ruining this. they're going to get a bad draft choice, and they're going to end up with, I don't know, hypothetically, Ekpe Udo. And then they did. Well, the other thing is that that's the same year that, like, 3 days later, the Warriors only had five guys for the season, the last game of the season, and ended up beating the Blazers. And, yeah, that was the difference between them drafting Udo and Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
Those two improbable trees.
Well, they ended up with Boogie Cousins anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out all right.
I was also at a game where Jeff Green hit a game winner against the Golden State Warriors. So there's no way that game was any good. Thunder era Jeff Green hitting a buzzer beater to beat the Golden State Warriors. Sean, what's the worst game you saw live?
I don't think
The game that comes to mind for me.
Mm-hmm.
The game that comes to mind for me was this was the first Hoiberg year, when I was still on the Bulls beat. In like December, they played a 4 overtime game against the Pistons. I'm gonna look up the box score because it wasn't even like a good game. It was just one of those like you know how like sometimes like just because a game goes to overtime doesn't mean it's like good. This game went to 4 overtimes and all of us just like wanted to die by the game. I'm gonna find the box score from this game.
All right, Keen, what's your worst? Yeah,
I don't think I've seen a truly terrible NBA game. Just because I haven't been to that many. I mean, I guess when I saw the Battle of New York in late March in 2015.
That's Knicks that in was, like March 2015. Uh-huh.
I've seen Evan Turner get a triple double in a game and it was still like a real bummer. My favorite part of that Knicks Nets game though was that it was my first time going to Madison Square Garden. And so, you know, the game is both teams are terrible that year. But I've just been so brainwashed into like, this is the mecca of basketball. These are the smartest fans that during the halftime, they've just got kid basketball. It's like two teams
that's my
nine-year-olds playing each other.
Show,
it was actually great. And my section, people were like watching it, pointing guys out, really clapping. And I was like, holy shit, these are the best basketball fans in the world. And like, at the end of the game, it was very disappointing because the fake buzzers running out, the biggest kid on the court blocked a shot by the shortest kid on the court, like four rows deep. But I was still just like, wow, basketball. I love basketball. I'm leaving New York tomorrow, but this was great. And then as halftime continues, all the children file back into our section. I was just sitting in cheap seats filled with the parents. It wasn't like they just loved basketball. They were cheering for their children. And I was just like, this city's basketball crazy. They'll even watch an 8-year-old.
Hi, can you find this box score yet?
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, I did. Okay, so the score of this game, and this is only like 3 years ago. The final score of this game was 147 to 144. This is 4 overtime. That's a regulation game like this year.
Yeah. The Warriors would have scored 200 points if they had 4 overtimes.
Okay, so Reggie Jackson had 31 points on 12 of 27 shooting.
Wait.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 17 points on 18 shots.
That's he's born for a quadruple overtime game.
Yeah. I will say, though, Andre Drummond, 33 points, 21 rebounds.
If he's going to get 4 overtimes, though, I want him getting 30 rebounds. You know what I mean?
Come on, Andre.
Especially if KCP's taking more shots than points.
This is on brand here. Like so the Bulls 5 starters: Jimmy Butler, 43 points.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Derrick Rose, 34 points on 34 shots.
Yeah, that also on brand. Doesn't work as hard as Jimmy. Nobody does.
Pau Gasol, 30 points, 15 rebounds.
Oh, he was probably so tired after four overtimes, dude.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
He probably was like, I normally take a siesta here. It's what my people do. I ate so much delicious ham after the regulation.
Can we end this game? I have tickets to the opera.
Taj Gibson, 14 points. That made 12 rebounds. That makes sense. Tony Snell, 3 points on 1 of 7 shooting. Oh, that was their fifth starter.
7 points in four overtimes. 7 shots in 4 overtimes. Incredible.
It is so weird. Tony Snell is like a fine NBA player now. Right?
Yeah.
Look, he got out of Chicago. Oh, it was just a bad that really goes a long way.
Doug McDermott only had 3 shot attempts.
Oh, man.
Like, that's a guy you think is going to be firing in a 4 overtime.
Yeah, I want
game.
Him jacking for sure.
Yeah.
Aaron Brooks, also not jacking. He only had 3 shot attempts.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was, and especially like, imagine like being a beat writer also, where you have to stay for like 2 hours after the game, as well as it being a four. Like, it was, I think I got home at like 3 in the morning. That was brutal. That was a brutal night.
I'm sorry, Hyken. I'm sorry that happened to you. But somebody hire Sean Hyken to cover a team so he can do it again, because it's what he loves.
Yeah. Give me another 4 overtime game. Hell yeah. At this point, hell yeah.
Hyken, what would you like to plug?
I mean, I've been just writing a lot of stuff lately. I got a Kevin Knox piece at SNY that just came out today. I'm doing an Anthony Davis thing coming up for BR. That'll be up in a couple of days, I think. You know, just follow me on Twitter at Hyken. I will tweet whenever I have something. I've been doing a lot of stuff lately, so I should have some stuff. Subscribe to Take It or Break It, because Big Corbin.
Hey, cut him off! Cut him off, Joey. That episode's never coming back.
Go listen to the lost episode of Take It or Break It if you are like me and remember it, because all of you don't.
Keen plugs go.
Okay, come see the Everything Report on Wednesday, January 3rd, one night only at SF Sketchfest. It's at Piano Fight, which is in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. And we have the very funny Emily Catalano opening for us. So
Emily's so funny.
Yeah, she's great. I'm really happy. Reggie Steele's making an appearance. And I can't tell you why, but we also have a professional singer involved in our ensemble. So it should be really fun and very stupid, especially if you like the Everything Report. And my portion of the show is probably stupider than anyone else's too. So that is really saying
something. That's our brand. Brand is stupid. As for us, download the Slammed Up album at roundballrock.bandcamp.com. It's called Slammed Up Season 1. It is free, but you can also give us money if you feel like it. And then you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on 6/20/15. I tweeted, remind me to never buy natural applesauce ever again. The fake stuff dominates in the taste department.
You know what? Fair enough, Frankie Muniz.
Trust the process and
trust the process.
Shut it down. Daryl Morey, go on round ball.
Step inside the arena in Dallas. Don't you know it's a palace? No better place to play. You say the owner's a chode, but he gives us nice robes. He bought him on eBay. So we'll start a revolution from the floor. Because Dennis Smith's not part of this young core. Step outside, defenders guard the paint. Rise up and hit the dagger 3. Impress Chuck on TNT. Luka D is gonna tear your heart out. And John Sally can wait. He knows Luka's greater than the best damn sports show. The haters fade away. But don't look back in anger unless you draft a Trey. Take me to the place in Slovenia where being young doesn't mean ya don't know how to play. Please don't put the rock in the hand of DeAndre Jordan. He'll throw the ball away. So we'll start a revolution in Big D, because Maxi Kleber's got great chemistry. Step back jumper simply can't be stopped. In Luka's trunk there's lots of junk, but he'll throw down a nasty dunk. Luka D is coming here to ball out. And John Sally can wait. Luka would be great in the remake of Eddie. Tread for Tim Hardaway. But don't look back in anger unless you draft a Trey.
Hey, you know, this here, Dennis Smith, sounds like a right wanker. Kind of like a wanker, I know. My brother Liam. I'll say you tell this guy, hey, sod off. Get in your lorry, head off to the chip shop, piss off. Maybe you can trade him to New York for Frankie Smokes. By the way, I knew a Frankie Smokes once. He sold me my cocaine.
John Sally can wait. He thinks that it's great that Luka is a bad boy, too. He's all NBA. But don't look back in anger unless you draft a Trey. John Sally can wait. Luka would be great in the remake of Eddie. Trade for Tim Hardaway. But don't look back in anger. Don't look back in anger. He's here to stay. Based on the CBA.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.